Welcome to Lawmen, a podcast about local legends and obscure curiosities from days of yore. I'm James Shakeshaft.
And I'm Alistair Beckett-King.
And this is a recording from our little live trip out to the Leicester Comedy Festival.
2022.
Thank you very much to Next Up and the Leicester Comedy Festival.
And thanks to the law folk who came out and watched. And actually, thank you to us.
We were really there in person.
Yeah. And my associate James here shared a Leicester story, The Curse of the Silk Slippers.
It's a tale of a man with looks that could stop you in the street.
Mm.
And I mean that in more ways than one.
Sing along. Sing, damn you, sing. Also, this is the full version of the song that you never hear. You don't know this bit.
This has got the rap section in it. There's a big rap break in the middle.
All right, Matt, I think you can fade that out. It goes on for another 3 hours, so thank you.
Hello, law folks. How are you?
Yay!
Good. That's an open-ended question, James, but they handled it well with a yay.
Yeah.
Law folks on the stream, how are you?
Good law afternoon.
Are we saying that?
I prefer good morning, but here it's law afternoon. For the one or two people who may have not heard the podcast, we tell stories about folklore and I don't think we take the mickey out of them.
No, we're very respectful.
We look for the funny bits in them. And there's plenty in today's tale, which is from Lubbernum.
Lubbernum?
Lubbernum.
Not Lebanon.
It's not Lebanon. It's not Lubbernum.
Is it like a sailor saying love a nun?
Or a land-based nun, maybe, like a land lubber.
Like a nun lubber.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's just simply a town.
It's not a really sexy nun, really.
No. Now, near Lubbernum is a hall called Papillon Hall, which is a French word. It's okay. For butterfly.
Ah, oh, good.
That's the Steve McQueen film about butterflies in jail or something. I've not seen it.
Yeah. Really hard to arrest a butterfly. Very difficult to get the handcuffs on.
Yeah, and if you arrest a caterpillar and then they change into a butterfly, can they get out? Or would they be like, oh, no, it wasn't me. It was a caterpillar did this crime, and I'm clearly a butterfly.
It'd be very hard to do a lineup with, like, four caterpillars and a butterfly.
Three caterpillars, a chrysalis and a butterfly. Which was the one that mugged you? It was a human.
Had you only said that at the start...
Fine.
I wouldn't have arranged this at great expense, a butterfly-based lineup on the assumption that a butterfly committed this crime, James.
But no, this is
Papillon Hall, you say.
Yeah, and it's a hall. It's not even an actual butterfly. It's a building.
What?
I know. You know what? The building, you know what shape it was? It wasn't butterfly-shaped. It was octagonal.
What? It didn't even have, like, two wings?
No.
Which is something that buildings and butterflies have in common.
Yes. This Papillon Hall was built by a chap called David Papillon. I don't think he really built it himself. I think he paid a bunch of people to build it. In 1624, and it was substantially altered in 1903, and it was even more substantially altered in 1950. It was demolished.
Wow. That's about as substantially altered as a thing can be.
Yeah,
really,
I think we can all
it?
Agree. That's a substantial alteration.
Yeah, we're going to knock through that wall and that wall. Pretty much all the walls.
All four walls.
And then the roof will probably take care of itself.
Yeah.
Correction.
All eight walls. It's an octagon.
It's an octagon.
Who we're talking about now is David II. David Papillon II, the Daviding. He's the great-great-grandson of the original David Papillon, and he's got AKAs. Of course he has.
I love an AKA.
He's AKA Pamp.
Pamp? Pamp?
Also known as Old Pamp, presumably in his later years. And also known as Lord Pamp.
Lord Pamp?
He's Mr. Pamp. He's the Pamp King.
The Pampster?
Yes, he's the Pampmeister General. Yes, if he was a type of nappy, he'd be a pamper. He was devilishly handsome, seemingly literally mesmeric.
Oh.
Yeah. He could fix people, and not in a good way, like you would fix a table or chair. He'd fix them like he'd freeze them, like set them, like in the way that when you cure meat, that's not a cure. If anything, you're making it worse. He could fix or set people. You just look at them and they wouldn't be able to move.
I'm looking at the camera to give the people at home an example of what looking at would be.
And if it, imagine someone's computer is now buffering and they think you're a magician. He once had a problem with some men ploughing a field. I don't know how you can have a problem with the methods of men ploughing in a field. He found it very harrowing.
Thank you for coming. That's the end
Thank
of the
show. Thank you very much. Yes, he had an issue with how they ploughed this field, so he fixed them, and they were stuck until sundown when he released them.
Not see, I don't know how that solved the problem. That just meant that they were there the whole day.
Not ploughing?
Yeah.
Maybe he was like, I just want you to plough at night or something. Or you're ploughing too fast. Slow down on your ploughing.
Slow that plough.
Calm down ploughing. One time, old Pamp was getting robbed by a footpad. Do you know the term footpad?
Yes.
Does anyone else know the term footpad? I knew you'd know.
Of course. I'm not going to define it, though. Carry on, James.
A footpad?
I have definitely heard it before.
I would say it's probably a variant on a cut purse.
It is. It's a street-based thief. So as a highwayman would be on a horse, a footpad would be on his feet.
Yeah, like basically. A pedestrian They're, criminal.
Yes. A mugger. So if you think like a highwayman on a horse, that's like your internet fraudster. They're getting you from afar, and a footpad is like a mugger. They're up at you. And they're actually more dangerous, a footpad, because a highwayman, when they're finished mugging you, they just ride off on a horse. They can make their escape quite quickly. A footpad needs to incapacitate you in order to make their escape.
I thought you were going to say, like, you know when you say goodbye to someone, but then it turns out you're walking the same way.
And you're off to do the same mugging.
Are you also going to... Oh, okay. Fine.
Oh, I've got some false etymology. Would you like some fake etymology?
I love some faux etymology.
Footpad. Not only would they mug people, they'd also rob your belongings from your pack horse and or cart. So they fitted a lock to these things, which was called the padlock. That's not true, unfortunately. Right. It'd be lovely if it was. That's what I read, and then I looked it up.
Yeah, the last time we talked about this, you told me you discovered some amazing etymology, and yeah. I said, I bet it turns out not to be true. I just want that to be on record that you looked at it, he checked, and it wasn't true.
It wasn't true.
Even though he didn't tell me what it was, I already knew it wasn't going to be true.
Footpad is first used in around 1680. Padlock is first used in the 15th century. So,
what were they locking up in the 15th century?
Lily pads. I don't know. But the OED, Oxford English Dictionary, does not know what the pad bit of padlock comes from. So it's not just me that doesn't know things. This footpad tried to rob him and he fixed them. Fixed them good and proper, set them there. And so cockily, he put his purse of wages that he was bringing back from Market Harborough, put it down on the floor in front of the guy and then rode off home and then sent his groom to come pick up the purse. And the groom picked it up and then the robber was released from the spell.
Wow. That's really showboating for an audience of zero.
Yes, really.
Apart from his footman, who is there to check that he even did that? Or is the guy sort of locked behind his eyes, staring at the money the whole time, being like, oh, if only I hadn't been frozen. Is that the idea?
I guess it's some sort of punishment, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
This Pamp, not that nice a guy. He was feared, old Pamp, in the area. People would make the sign of the cross in Lubbernham when they were making their beer mash or making their dough there for bread and stuff like that. I think it's a yeast, very yeasty-based cursing that he could do. He married in 1717. I should have only said that twice. There was a pause there.
Yeah.
Just imagine they only said it twice.
How did you go over the page while writing a date?
I kept writing 17.
How big is your handwriting, James?
You know when you write banana and you don't know when to stop? Well, before he married, he had a Spanish mistress. He had a secret Spanish lady.
Oh, is that the sound of maracas?
Sensual maraca music.
Because he had a loft on top of Papillon Hall, or Pamp's Place, as it was also known. I'm really glad I got this pop shield for this
one.
This
is very plosive, heavy explosive episode.
So
Pamp's Papillon Pad.
Pamp's secret... And now I can't think of a saucy word that begins with P. What's a saucy word that begins with P? Not the obvious.
It's not the sauciest of words for it.
So on top of his octagonal hall, there were four gabled attics. I looked up gabled. It's the triangular bit in a roof. Roof. Sorry. Went very local at the end there. Roof. And one of them was bricked up, apart from a small door, and that was Pamp's attic. In Pamp's attic, he'd squirreled away his Spanish mistress. She never left Papillon Hall. She would do her exercise on one of the other four quadrants of the roof, and she died in 1715. But there's no grave of her around.
Oh.
But before she died, she left a curse. She had some very fancy shoes.
Pumps?
Yes, Pamps. Pumps. Pamps partner's pumps. These shoes were accursed. They're brocaded slippers.
Everything was brocaded in those days. You almost never hear about clothing if it's not brocaded.
Yeah, if it was simply 2D. Brocaded is that sort of when it's got the pattern, but it's raised up, like the wallpaper that I had in my student house that was horrible. And the previous person had picked off the flowers.
Oh.
Horrible. Horrible it was. One time, the landlord installed new blinds. Not nice Venetian blinds like in here. The vertical office blinds. The ones that are made of the cream fabric.
Yep.
He whooshed them shut and said, look, it's great. The light still comes in. That's not a selling point for blinds. So these shoes, they were very fancy, but there was a curse on them. Should they ever be taken away from the hall, terrible things would happen. The belief in this curse of these shoes was so strong that it was written into the deeds of the house.
Wow.
You weren't allowed to take the shoes out of the house. It was not allowed. That's fine if it's a pair of shoes, but if it's like a sideboard, that would be annoying if you just had to keep the previous tenant's sideboard or blinds. I'm annoyed about those blinds still.
James, have you been forced to keep somebody's sideboard?
And blinds.
I feel like you're airing a lot of grievances that aren't necessarily relevant to the story.
Well, okay then. I'll skip that bit. But basically, the not removal of the pumps was ignored. In 1860...
What?
Yeah, I know.
Even though it was in the deed.
1866, the owner, George Bosworth, he died. And he bequeathed these shoes to his daughter, who lived in Leicester. The new owner, Lord Hopetoun, or Hopetoun, was disturbed by loud crashes and deafening noises coming from his drawing room. So much so they couldn't use the drawing room. Imagine.
I'd hate that.
Yeah, if there was a whole room that you can... I mean, the modern equipment would be like, I've got a noisy drawer that I can no longer use. They tracked down the shoes, they got them back, and they were finally able to use their drawing room again. Ooh, fee you.
Happy ending.
It was all at the appropriate volume. And then there was a later owner, Thomas Halford. This guy, Thomas Halford, he lent the shoes to an exhibition in Paris.
Ugh.
For a whole year.
She's not going to like that.
No.
The ghost.
She did not. The whole family had to move out. There was such a kerfuffle. And they couldn't get the shoes back earlier. They had to go for a whole year for some reason. Evidently, that contract was stronger than the original deed-based contract. And so what he did was he installed a strong cupboard with a little grill on it. It was fireproof, even though it had a grill in it, which is not just a pun, but also is a cupboard with a hole in it that can't be fireproof. Basically, they've got the grill so you can keep an eye and check the shoes are actually still there and they're locked up. That's all good until...
These days, we probably have a baby monitor set up just watching the shoes.
Yes, you would. Yes. Mm. A baby monitor for shoes. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Just a good idea.
It's just a practical suggestion. You can't take that. Anyway, this is copyrighted.
Shoe view, we could call it.
Shoe view, yes. That's good.
Yeah,
definitely cutting that out.
Yeah, we will. Definitely. Yeah. We are definitely going to cut this bit out.
Yeah. So, in 1903, Captain Frank Belville...
Oh, I can already feel he's going to be a character.
He bought the place. He started the first of the refurbishments. There were two. This was the good one. He put four wings on the place so that it resembled a butterfly.
Really?
Yes.
Good. Finally, someone who is as literal as me. Make the building look like a butterfly.
And he put an extra floor on, demolishing the old attics. And do you know what he found in Pamp's attic?
Skeleton.
A skeleton. Yes, yes! A skeleton.
It's always a skeleton.
A lady skeleton.
A lady skeleton.
We can only presume it was a Spanish skeleton. I don't know how you could tell.
The bones sound like maracas, I told you.
Yes, that would be it. So they found the skeleton. That's where she was all along.
Jaws like castanets.
But that didn't...
I'm just thinking of other ways you can tell if a skeleton is Spanish.
That's the whole skull.
Click, 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 click.
Oh, no.
Spanish. Wait, is it disgusting or are you offended on behalf of the Spanish?
You've only got one, you need two.
Oh, so now you're complaining that we haven't killed enough Spaniards.
The only thing I think that would make this equivalent thing is if you sort of did a thing with the ribs, but then that'd be a bit like playing the spoons and that wouldn't, I don't think that'd have the same effect. That would be insulting the memory of whoever you were using the skeleton of to make a musical instrument.
I love the way James just gave me a look as if to say, they're a bit hard work, aren't they?
I mean, really?
Blimey. A 10-minute long skeleton instruments aside. What do they want?
Yeah, and during this, old Belville, Captain Belville, he had the shoes. He was not a scared person. He didn't have...
He's a sea captain. He's seen it all.
Yeah, well...
He's punched a manatee.
Really?
He's felt the briny spray.
That is enough.
Of the sea.
Not the manatee. Even though a lot of people think the manatees are the origin of the mermaid myth.
Yeah.
It's a different story.
Just the sexiest manatees, obviously.
Yeah.
Manatee. Something's going to happen. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, he was not superstitious.
You could take all the toe bones, throw them into a kettle drum.
That would work. And then a 1, 2, 3, 4 with the thighs.
Yeah.
No, not having it. Nothing.
I thought if we left a gap, we might be able to return.
Yeah.
Triumphantly return to the Spanish skeleton used to produce music theme, but no. Don't know.
Okay, then. He didn't keep the shoes in the house. He had them taken to his solicitors. Do you think some bad stuff happened? Yeah, it did.
Oh.
Big time. His pony trap, which is a type of car, just a type of car. He's not hunting ponies.
The worst thing about it is when it's caught one and you have to just take a massive trap with a dead pony in it out to the garden and just like...
It was a humane pony trap.
Oh, okay.
It's just a bit, it's a big cage.
It's actually...
With just some sugar lumps at the back.
Just a narrowing tunnel and the pony can get in, but it can't get back out.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, a pony trap is not that. A pony trap is like a mini cart, I guess.
We all knew. I was deliberately misunderstanding.
And, well, his one, with him in it, overturned and he fractured his skull.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he got those shoes and put them back. 5 years later, he lent them to Leicester Museum.
Come on, Cappy.
I know you've got a fractured skull, but come on. He's obviously forgotten. And so he lent them to Leicester Museum. He fell off his horse again and fractured his skull again.
The same skull. That self-same skull.
The very same skull. It's not going to be able to be used as a musical instrument afterwards. He's not thinking of the resale value. You don't want that on like a sort of a drum set. Kind of thing, made out of skulls, and one of them's this skull's flat. Can you tune up the skull, please? That got more.
Yeah.
So now
we're obliged to leave all the rest of it in. We can't cut the rest of it out now.
But saving my burgeoning business, which is musical instruments made of human skeletons, which is what I'm secretly pushing.
Yeah. Have you got a good pun name for that business, James?
Not yet.
Okay.
But I will think about it and put it in the edit at this point. and I'll use that laugh. No, and the hall also caught fire in 1908. Two servants died, minimum. Minimum two servants died in this fire, and three ponies were struck by lightning.
Easy targets, being in the trap.
Because they are trapped. They're all in the same trap.
So, yeah.
It's not that odd as it's not as odd as it sounds.
Yeah, yeah. No,
yeah. So they put the shoes back in the case.
Yeah.
And they chuck the key in the pond. Oh, sorry. According to the son of the stable hand, Len Beanie, they threw the key in the pond.
The Beanster.
Len Beanie Jr. During World War II, it was used as a base for American servicemen. And if we've learned anything on this podcast about American servicemen coming over here to our stately homes,
yep,
they are not respecting the past. They broke open the case, and on two occasions, shoes were taken. And on two occasions, the person who did it died.
Wow.
Yeah. Not once, but twice.
Incredible that someone would die during the Second World War. Just amazing.
And they're in the army
as
well.
What are the odds that a soldier would die
chances?
In the war? When normally an American soldier would be getting our skeletons, falling in love with them, and then playing the rock and roll.
Yeah.
That's a lengthy callback.
But it works.
Yeah, so that time those American soldiers had sex with those skeletons.
Yes. That is a callback to an allegation made by us that is yes. No way.
You can't
proven.
Distance yourself from our own allegation by just.
I think it was me that said
that was,
it.
That
as
was
well.
My slanderous comment.
Yeah, that was
James.
A slanderous comment so. I made a long time ago.
I don't think it's slander if you say it's slander. How can that be a crime?
Can you slander a skeleton?
No, you can't slander the dead. And that is the basis of this podcast.
They lost a shoe as well. In that whole kerfuffle, one of the shoes was
Sometimes
lost.
Sometimes I forget how high the stakes are in this story.
Yeah. They lost a shoe. One of these shoes was lost, and the building was, 5 years later, demolished. And like that, 5 years later, they demolished the building.
Wow, just like...
Whilst demolishing it, they found the shoe. It was under a floorboard.
Oh,
yeah. Still demolished it, though. Demolished
so
it.
Bad luck.
And I went past there today on my way up, and I'm going to make a little video, which I'll pop out on our YouTube channel. I had quite a terrifying time. There were a surprising amount of tanks up there, is all I'll say. You'll see in the video.
Military tanks.
Yeah, not like water tanks and sewage tanks and whatnot. An aeroplane and a big plastic dragon.
The usual.
So, yes, now it is no longer there. The shoes are in the Market Harbour Museum. And they are there to this day for you to look at. If you go in, there'll be the shoes with the brocade on them. The stables are still meant to be haunted by Pamp, old Pamp, Lord Pamp. And, oh, sidebar, he also has a haunted painting. It's a painting of him, which had its own misadventures, and I'm not going to go into them now. I only mention them because at one point, this haunted painting fell into the hands of his descendant, Pelham Rawstone Papillon.
Oh.
At first, I thought that was a town name. That's a person's name. Pelham Rawstone Papillon.
Mm.
And that is the tale of Old Pamp.
That's a great tale. A round of applause for James.
Are you ready to score me?
I am.
First category, the first, is naming.
Naming.
Mm.
Pamps.
Old Pamp.
Pamps is a strong start, isn't it?
Lord Pamp.
Lord Pamps. The Pampster. The Pampinator.
Mm-hmm.
Pamp, 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 param.
Yeah. Pamp up the jam. Yes, and that isn't the only name.
But I have forgotten the others, so remind me of something.
Pelham Rawstone Papillon.
You've said that so interestingly, I have no idea how to pronounce it. Pelham Rawstone
Papillon.
Papillon.
Papillon. George Bosworth.
George Bosworth, nice, solid and name. Len Beanie. I can see the bean on the page there.
Captain Frank Belville.
I like Captain Belville.
And a Spanish lady.
And a Spanish... What would her name have been?
Mrs. Maracas.
Senorina Maracas.
Oh, yes, Senorita Maraca.
Not married then. Okay.
No, she was his mistress.
She was his mistress, of
famously.
Course. Senorita Maracas. I'm not sure I believe that was really her name. So I'm going to say it's a 4 out of 5.
Okay.
But if you'd got a really funny Spanishy name, it would have been 5.
I've only got funny male ones because you can always prefix them with senior. So whatever they are, you can say senior.
Senior Beanie. Yeah, it works.
Yeah.
It works for any name.
Senior Maracas.
Have you?
No. Maybe.
That was an actual joke. I don't know what you're complaining about. That was the first actual joke we've done in months on this podcast. 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5, fair enough. Okay, second category, supernatural.
Oh, well, poltergeists are supernatural.
We got a load of poltergeists.
Yep. One of them prevented a drawing room from being used for the purposes to which we all know drawing rooms were conventionally put.
Withdrawing to, actually. Withdrawing.
Is that it? That the withdrawing room.
I didn't double look it up, so I'm not going to say yes, but...
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Were they just for introverts? Was it just a room for introverts?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Nice.
What else is there? There's multiple poltergeist instances.
Cursed shoes.
The ghost of Pamp still haunts the stables.
Yeah. And if you were in any doubt as to how cursed the shoes were, they tested it 17 times.
Yeah.
And every time the curse came true.
No one believed it. That's how cursed they were. And the fixing, the supernatural fixing.
Yeah,
he could fix
the
people.
Magnetism. They used to call it magnetism, didn't they?
Yeah, his mesmerism.
That's pretty good.
That's a lot of supernaturality.
I don't know. I think it's a 5. Yeah. Oh, some strong nods there.
Yeah.
People at home. Yeah, it's 5.
Yeah, they're nodding their laptops.
They're nodding. Yeah, they're bending the screen to make it nod. Mm-hmm. Now that'd be making us nod. It's 5.
That's how everyone agrees on a Zoom call, though, right? Yeah, when you're in a Zoom meeting.
You nod the screen.
Yeah. Good.
5 out of 5 for Supernatural,
James.
5 out of 5
for Supernatural. And then we have the category of plosives.
Plosives. What if someone isn't as clued up on word terminology? What is a plosive sound, James?
A plosive sound.
A plosive sound.
It's a P.
A plosive sound.
It's a P or a B. That's about it, I think, isn't it? P, B.
Yeah, it's one of the ones where you shoot plosive. You shoot some air straight out of your mouth into a microphone, causing bassy problems.
Yes, it's where you have sealed your lips and then you release that seal in an explosion.
We've got pamps.
We've got papillon.
Papillon, that's 2.
We got Len Beanie.
Beanie
Belleville.
And pamps.
Thomas Holford, no.
Come on, Holford!
We got George Bosworth.
Nice.
Who bequeathed the shoes.
Yes, bequeathed.
Slippers. We've got all of these and no more.
It's pende, which I think is the Greek word for 5.
Oh, yes.
And it's the only P5 I could think of.
Pimp!
My God, pimp, of course.
I'm so glad we created an environment where someone can just say, with a questioning voice, pimp? And for everyone else to go, yes!
Yes, of course!
Pimp!
And finally!
Of course! Like Archimedes leaping out of the bathtub. Pimp!
Okay, so pimp for plosives. And then
pimp
my final category.
For plosives.
And I...
You're not looking confident.
No.
For the benefit of the tape, let the record show that Shake Shaft is looking nervous.
I was confident there was a clever category, but then I've thought it through and I'm hoisting myself by my own petard.
Petard.
Petard. Another one. It is... Too pamp, too furious.
Okay, I see what you've done there, because it's very funny, but it includes the number 2.
Yeah, twice. So that's why, twice as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even notice the first 2.
I'm Darren Browning to my disadvantage.
Do you want to explain the... Because I laughed, but I don't think I understood it.
Okay. David Pamp the second. There were 2 alterations of the hall.
Yeah.
One of them, the ultimate alteration, which is the other name for my home improvement show. The ultimate alteration. So there were 2 pumps, 2 alterations. The guy fell off the horse twice. 3 ponies were struck by lightning. That doesn't work. And 2 American servicemen lost their lives during World War II.
How did it happen?
Stealing these two shoes.
Two shoes. Baddy two shoes. Like the opposite of goody two shoes.
Yes, exactly.
They were bad shoes. That's a weird saying, isn't it? Goody two shoes. It's like, oh, look at you with two shoes.
Going around here.
You like a smug, smug. It's all right for you, I say, walking off with like
in a circle.
Two pamp two.
Furious.
Furious. It's got two twos. Two plus two equals four. It's four out of five.
Yes. Thank you very
Some
much.
Some boos from George Orwell fans who are helping for a five there now.
Well, I've thought of a name for my musical instrument shop.
What's the musical instrument shop staffed by skeletons? No, that's not it.
It's made of entirely...
It's not a shop where you buy musical instruments from skeletons. The instruments are made of skeletons.
Of course.
What's the name of the shop?
Saxobone and More.
We've been the Lawmen. Good evening.
Goodbye.
Good luck.
Yes, obviously, I've been writing down names of skeleton-themed music shops.
Obviously.
Tibias and tubas.
Excellent.
Or clavicles and clavichords.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the same idea done two different ways.
Yes.
Piano muerte.
Oh.
And whatever name we go with is going to have the byline, putting the bone in trombone. If you want to tacitly endorse any of this nonsense, you could do so on patreon.com/lawmenpod.
Do it.
Where you'll get access to bonus episodes and
yes.
early access to field reports, including one where I go to the ruins of Papillon Hall.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you
for watching on the stream, people on Next Up. It might be no one. You might be talking to no one. It's not actually Next Up. It's what it is it's like a baby monitor for
shoes.
Shoes.
And it's available in the lobby. along with saxophones and
sorry, I've members of that.
Shoe View. It's called Shoe View. It's called Shoe View.
I am the only investor and customer for Shoe View.
Goody two shoe views? That could be some sort of marketing slogan.
Maybe a discount, yeah.
Yeah, you buy two.
You have to pay extra if you wanted to look at two shoes.
Yeah, you can only look at one shoe at a time.
The entry level is just for one shoe.